All right, Darrell, our next speaker, and again, I apologize to Anja that, again, that she's great. I mean, she was speaking for someone else, but, boy, she has a lot of cardinal knowledge, and we are greatly appreciative for her being here. Our next speaker, again, is Diane Woods from the University of California, Riverside, who is going to talk with us on the eliminating the critical public health epidemics in America and the Bahamas.
Good afternoon. It's my pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity for speaking. And I am also appreciative of my colleagues who have just previously given their presentation, especially to our last colleague, because she said the next step would be community involvement. My presentation is about community involvement. I conduct community-based participatory research, and we had a booth, which was booth 1544, which displayed what happens when you engage the population in addressing the health disparity issues. And I am local. I am in San Bernardino County, which is about an hour north of here. And so what I'm going to present is based on my community-based participatory research and also a partnership with a urologist in the Bahamas related to, he initially invited us to replicate some of our engagement work based on the high crime that they have in the Bahamas. And I'm sorry that my colleague is not here. He is a practicing physician. And I am presenting the information as the government has given it to me and permission to be able to present that. My colleague is Dr. Robin Roberts, who is on faculty there at the University of West Indies School of Clinical Medicine and Research in the Bahamas, and he is the past president of the Medical Association of the Bahamas. In addition to being an assistant research psychologist at the University of California in Riverside in the psychology department, I also am the president and CEO of the African American Health Institute. And this is my official disclaimer. I do not have any relationships to disclose related to financial relationships with commercial interests, and neither do I have relationships to disclose related to off-label use of any products. And this presentation, what I wanted to do was frame the concept based on the idea of health outcomes in people of African ancestry, whether in America or in the Bahamas, but specifically related to our local studies that we have been involved in. I want to also share with you our logic model and how we shared with those individuals in the Bahamas what that logic model involved and what they may be able to use in working on their social issues. Also, what we were asked to do was to come and share from our local perspective what organizations, black-led organizations, were doing to address the health disparity issues. And I'm going to share with you several slides related to some of our organizations and what they're doing. The presentation outline will cover a lot of data. I am not going to spend a lot of time on the data because I know as public health experts we are aware of that. And then the model, and finally the interventions. Also, when I use the term blacks and African Americans, I am referring to people who use that term interchangeably, and those are people of African ancestry, and that is out of respect because some people do not all want to be called blacks, and they do not want to be called African Americans, and so the most political and appropriately correct term is people of African ancestry. And I've already talked about this as a part of my research in San Bernardino. And just to reiterate that there is an official definition related to health disparities, and we've talked about it before and a lot of talk that has been done here at the conference, but believe it or not, there are still those who sit and say that there are not disparities. And so what I do is also in working with the community, the same slides that I'm showing you is what I show to them. And they definitely have a different response when they see those slides. So the important issue is that there is a significant difference related to population groups based on the general population. So the leading causes of death, we are familiar with them. And when we look at this slide, we can't really see that there is any significant difference between the state level, in our case, California level, and where we want to be with healthy people. And mind you, I'm really talking about disparities and not to get into the detail on the data itself. But when you disaggregate the data by ethnic population, it tells a different story. And oftentimes we do not see the data presented in this way, so that when we use the term significant difference, then one should not be able to miss the significant difference between the different population of people. And I purposely put the red bar for the people of African ancestry, and this is American data, U.S. data. So this is what I show to them, and they can definitely see that there is a significant difference. Leading causes of death in California, of course, is the same. And also when we look at infant mortality across the nation, we can see the black bar, it would be black babies, and the significant difference is between black babies and all other babies, with Native American babies being second. And then California, there is no difference. And I know that this is difficult, and I've given this presentation many times, but these are actually our current data. And I know this slide says 2004, but when I talked to our Black Infant Health Program, they said that this is current. And in fact, unfortunately, it has gotten worse. When you look at the Black Infant Health Program for California, you can see that Fresno has the highest rate here. And unfortunately, where I'm from, San Bernardino County, is second with 16.2. And when I talked to the Black Infant Health Director before coming, she said the rate has gone up to 18.2. And then when prostate cancer, you look at the disparity there in the U.S. data. Also, when you look at the trend in California, and we do not have to identify what that top line is, we know that is the African-American population. And what I show on this is the trend has been there for years. And in fact, in doing my studies, you may or may not know that W.E.B. Du Bois documented health disparities over 100 years ago. And you can find that in the Philadelphia Negro and the Physique of the Negro American. And that was published in 1906 and 1908. So you can see back in 1988, the trend for prostate cancer in California has been significantly high for a long period of time. So in the Bahamas, one of the presentations or one of the aspects of the medical association was to measure the outcomes. And the reason for outcomes is because 85% of the Bahamians or people of African ancestry. And you may or may not know that the Bahamas make up a family of islands. There are 760 islands in the Bahamas, but 21 of those islands are inhabited Baha'i islands. And 15% are Euro descent. Nassau, of course, is the capital. And in this slide, the leading causes of death, you can see in 2006, they have identified HIV as one of the leading causes of death, with hypertension, ischemic heart disease, cerebrovascular disease. But nevertheless, we know that that is not reflective of our data, but nevertheless, HIV and AIDS is a serious problem. And you can see from the other slides. What I wanted to show you on this slide that they sent to us, the trend over time, as you can see, heart disease has always been very, very high. And you can't see, because this stops in 2005, but notice that was a 2006 slide that they sent to us. And the problem is that they've had significant increase. And that's based on some of the activities that have been taking place in the island. And notice also that accidents and violence and poisoning is also on the rise. So looking in 2004, 2005, and even it's continuing to increase. Then when you look by gender within males, heart disease, cancer, and then you can notice that there's an intersect with cancer and accidents, where accidents is truly, truly rising significantly there. Now the issue with AIDS, you can see that within males is down a little bit, but it's going to jump. And then with females, of course, heart disease, malignancy, or cancer, and HIV and AIDS, but stroke starting to come on the rise. And notice that for accidents, It's very, very low, down at 20 per 100,000. And the issue was that the males were killing each other, and it was in within families. Then for HIV and AIDS, we can see their cumulative numbers related to cases and non-cases. And the dark bar is the one that shows, of course, the total amounts. But you can see that there are differences between those who are living with the virus or who have been diagnosed as a case and those who are actually who have died from the virus itself. And I really cannot explain a lot of this particular data. I just have implications based on the discussions that I've had with Dr. Roberts, because one of the things that he wants to do is to delve more into why this is a profile and it profiles itself in this manner. And their infant mortality, as you can see, perinatal death is extremely high, and it's a major problem for them. So when you look at these social problems in the Bahamas, in 2007 it was documented 79 murders, and there's increase in gang activity, increase in weapon possession, drug abuse, increased teen pregnancy. Now, the reason I understand is that the traffic within the island has increased. And with the trafficking in the island and tourism being one of the major factors of having for income, families then are separated because the male and the female in the family has to work long hours in the hotel business, in the tourism business. And then I understand that then the children are left and they are not necessarily going to school, and then they're getting more involved in the gang and the gang activities and pushing the drugs. And this is what they shared. But they want to be able to turn that around and really move their people and population back to where they were. Now, in comparison, San Bernardino County is basically a large population. Our population is basically Latino, then white, then black, and you can see the other ethnic populations that are there. And unfortunately for San Bernardino County, the average age of death for a black male is age 56, and that is also similar for the Latino population. But the cost of death is different in the populations. For a female, the average age is 63, and both Latinos and blacks are about the same. And then when we look at the infant mortality and trend over time, we talked about that a little bit earlier from the state level, but you can see in San Bernardino County we have been extremely high for a long period of time. And notice the disparity is, of course, with black babies and all other babies. Everybody else definitely does not die at the same rate, and it has been taking place for a long period of time, which gets into the issue as to how you're targeting your resources based on the data and based on the particular needs. And then when you look at heart disease, the red bar, and then you can see the trend over time here, and also prostate cancer for black men, and I've spent a lot of time with this particular topic, is 2 times greater than others. Breast cancer is also the same thing. High blood pressure, HIV and AIDS. And then when you look at the crime rate, you see murder, rape, robbery. And in 2003, what I bring in attention there is that we started a program in the city called Operation Phoenix and other activities to curb this gang violence and problems that we were having there. So you will see the rate going down, or not the rate, the occurrences of the different assaults and crimes going down. And it's basically because of an aggressive approach that they've taken to these issues. And it wasn't because of the actual organizations or the institutes responsible, but because of the people. And again, I'm trying to present what the people are doing. And here we have in our neighboring cities, San Bernardino, Fontana, and Rialto, just wanted to show you what the numbers of individuals who are involved in these activities have been documented there. And when you look at the social and environmental issues, what I want to point out here is that when you look at the last bullet, San Bernardino County has an extremely high number of gangs. We have 426 registered gangs with 16,000 registered gang members. So in the Bahamas, the issue was, when we were asked, how are you handling these problems? Because we're having an increase in gang activity. So what are black people doing to help their situation and their problems? And unfortunately, the second bullet from the bottom, in 2005, actually, San Bernardino County was ranked in the top 10 counties with the highest number of gangs in the nation. And in fact, 2005, we were termed the murder capital of the year. And then when you look at that first bullet in 2005, out of the 60 homicide, 20% of those were in children that were under 18 years old. So it's a grave situation, and it's unfortunate, and we have serious problems that are going on. And so the issue is, how do we change that? And since we have the data that's actually telling us that these are serious problems, what's taking place with responsible organizations and agencies to be able to address this? And so what I'm presenting in the next couple of slides would be actually the interventions that local people have come together to address these particular issues. We were introduced to the Bahamas and asked to come because of the data that I am presented. I presented at a national conference in Washington, D.C. on prostate cancer. And the doctor that was there was a urologist, but he is a very strong social activist in his country. And he asked me to come over and to share with them some of the activities that we were doing. And that's how we got involved. And I took about 8 people over with us, and we were there for about 8 to 10 days. And while there, we had a series of meetings with all of these officials. We went to Her Majesty's Prison, the Minister of Health, the Minister of Insurance, the National Committees on Crime, Minister of Education. We visited a church or two, their behavior modification program. We were on the radio 2 or 3 times. We conducted a 3-hour public symposium, and we presented at the medical association of the Bahamas related to what we were actually doing and how we could be able to share with them as they move forward. And the model that I use, which I was published in the Journal for the National Medical Association, is a social ecological model that impacts on 5 levels. And this builds on the work of Dr. Stokels at the University of California in Irvine. I have operationalized this model for prostate cancer prevention in black men. I've also operationalized this with my community engagement model. And I'm using this in other activities. Right now we're doing more work with the school system in San Bernardino, and this is what I introduced to the officials and the ministers in the Bahamas. So in other words, when you impact the involvement of people on the 5 levels, we actually get more outcome from them because they choose to participate in the process, and they are then able to identify what they think is of value to them and how they would want to address those issues. And again, we had our partners displayed in our booth here at the conference in booth 1544. Now, this was just talking about when I identified in each one of the constructs some of those areas in which we made a difference. In the environmental dimension, you make a difference by appearing on the TV and the radio and in the newspaper on an ongoing, continual basis. With personal attributes, you look at what people bring to the table and operate from their perspective at the table, and then you can see those other dimensions. One thing that I like to show on the American side, when you look at the domain of human activity, we use proxy variables to identify the black community and black mentors, because the traditional thoughts that we have about who they are and how people exist is not necessarily what the reality is for people. But anyway, I wanted to show you how we used to operationalize that model for health outcomes. Now, these would be the interventions that are led forward. Right now in San Bernardino County, These are some of the partners that actually put forth very specific and target activities. We have Brothers and Sisters in Action that is focused on HIV and AIDS prevention, the Inland Empire Black Nurses Association, Time for Change Foundation, which deals with formerly incarcerated women. And actually, we did a major study in the prison to document the barriers that women experience while in prison related to health care and receiving that, and then after they are released from prison. And then our Medical Society Project AIM is actually a bunch of young people who actually go forth and they do workshops and their seminars and different activities with young people who live in predominantly high areas where there's gang activity. And they actually bring the gang members in. And these are young people who have some relationships with them, and in a confidential manner, they are able to work, and they work them through skills development types of activities. And they do activities on a different level. That a couple of years ago, they had a major seminars, but it depends on who wants to work and how they want to work. It's not something that they are working with particular interventions on an ongoing basis. And that's critical because you have to, as you know, work with where people are and how we're going to move forward with activities. And you can see some of the other activities there on the slide. And that's Brothers and Sisters in Action. And I just show you some of the particular interventions that she uses. There's another organization called Y-Child, and we're all a part of the Nubian HIV and AIDS Coalition, and we have our colleague in the audience, Manasseh, who is a part of that coalition and was a chair for a couple of years. And we have Time for Change Foundation, and these are some of the activities that she actually is involved in to change the lives of people and have them to re-enter into society. And the J.W. Vines Medical Society, of course, they're involved in a pipeline program and collaborating on different projects of interest. Young Visionaries, and what's interesting about this is a former gang member. He and his brother formed this organization, and they have a youth leadership academy. And they actually work with kids, very young kids, as well as young adults and teenagers, and help them know how to negotiate their skills to live in the community and not be involved in gang activity, how to survive, how to change their lives, and also help them to, they do jobs, training, and skills too to get them jobs and to move them into a more acceptable way of making a living and living. And so I appreciate Terrence and his group. Then there's this another coalition that we got together to work with UCR to make sure that they maintain their focus in ethnic minorities and having them to be able to apply to medical school to be accepted and to set up the curriculum and the program. I served on the Chancellor's Committee to have input along with the President of the J.W. Vines Medical Association and the President of the Foundation. And this is the institute that was created from the people. The people got together and said, okay, the established health industry is really not addressing these disparate issues. This is not fair. This is unacceptable. We don't want to have this. The California Endowment funded a two-year-long health planning project for which I coordinated. One of the things that they said is that we need to develop an organization that will keep a focused approach on these issues and bring them to fruition. And one of the areas that addressed the policy aspect is our policy advocacy, and we've been able to receive two grants from the California Endowment and the California Wellness to build an infrastructure and to move forward to make policy changes. And we have been able to make policy changes at the local level and at the state level. And one of our partners, Kim Carter, has a bill that was just shepherded by Karen Bass and was approved and passed. The governor just passed it last month, and it was keeping families whole. And it addressed the issue that when you come out into society and you go back into the environment, babies are taken away from their mothers, and the mothers only have a very short period of time to get the babies back. And what this bill does is extend the period of time. Instead of a couple of weeks, they have 6 months so that they can be able to make their families to be whole and break these cycles of recidivism and the issues that are taking place. But again, all of these activities are led by the community. They're not led necessarily, except for Operation Phoenix, but that's a story in itself. The community started doing that, then government came in and took that over, brought a real serious problem as far as accountability and as far as whose project is this really truly a project, and that's always a fight as to who gets credit for it and how they exist. Just wanted to show you some of our collaborative relationships, and then measuring the change, because when we look at change, sometimes we miss, and we know that, how these interventions are effective and how they're making a difference. And we know that we will not see morbidity and mortality change within the next year. That's a longer measure of success. But a stronger measure of success as far as bringing about a change is the fact that you have people who are assembling together on a regular basis. We have monthly meetings that we've been having since 1999. And people come at 8 o'clock in the morning and they take part in these activities. And they also work to challenge our establishment to bring about the change. And so when you look at challenging the establishment, what is successful about that? You have a whole room of people going as opposed to one or two people going. You have when you have coverage in all of the newspapers as opposed to one newspaper. So there are many ways to measure that particular change. And that's important to the community because for the community, it says that we are starting to put a dent into this problem and really make a difference. And we have a right to have equality and care. But if we cannot move the established institution to respond to that, then we're going to move it ourselves. And this is what they are doing. And so these are ways in which we can measure the change. And, of course, the outcome, I've talked about that a little bit already. And then in the Bahamas, what happened after our visit? Before our visit, they were working on their issues. What was the change? They had a project called Farm Road Urban Renewal Project in 2002. And that actually was a community policing approach. So you had a very strong presence in the community from the police department. And in fact, when we went over, they had the symposium at the police department. And there were some of our members says, this is in the wrong place. Why is it here at the police department? And in fact, they had their reasons. They had been working to establish the trust and the police department, very, very good and caring police department, but it was more on a violence and control type of approach. But still, they also, I don't want to demean the fact that they really had some strong programs going into the community and helping to change the housing and to change the neighborhoods. But it wasn't, there were activities that the community took on with this, but it wasn't quite where it needed to be. So we had discussions with the neighborhood committee, and in fact, they were already working on reaching out to the community. So we came in, and these are some of the things that they were doing to reach out to the community. And when we came in and shared our projects, what did it do for them? It reinforced that it's okay that the community can take a lead in that, and the police department could step back and allow community people to continue to do the things that they do. And so the ministry changed, but it wasn't because of our visit there. There were other internal issues. But in changing that ministry, they decided that they wanted to go forth with a strong community-led approach and build on what they were doing and model after some of the programs that we've taken over there, especially Terrence Stone and the Young Visionaries and their Leadership Academy. And then I also, there's another slide, it's out of place. What happened? Okay. Well, maybe it didn't make it there. But so what I have tried to show is that, first of all, in America, there are black-led organizations that are working on these problems. Secondly, the established institution, even though it's a right to be able to have high quality of health and health care, and to address these disparity issues when they have been pervasive and systemic for years, and that is known. We do not, as you know, have a significant amount of money that's actually given to black-led organizations or other ethnic-led organizations. And in California, the Greenlining Institute is actually addressing that issue. They have documented it, and they have identified that I think it's less than 20% of foundation money that actually goes to ethnic minority-led organizations. And we're having some follow-up meetings with some of our foundations here in this area. Now, what's the difference with the Bahamas? When you look at the Bahamas, you have a majority people in rule that are African ancestry, but you still have a system there that you're dealing with, and with that Euro approach that they have been using, they've in that process of changing that mentality and also changing that model, so that even when you discuss And even when you look at the population, the common people are not necessarily in those leadership roles in the community. You have this as a health, as a tourist area. You have a lot of foreign tourist organizations that are coming in. And even when you're in the hotel, you notice that those indigenous people are the people that are working in the menial jobs. And they were in cases, they could not eat in the hotels. They had to come still in the back door and other places of this nature. And you look at the hill where we went and had conversation, you still have some houses that did not have indoor plumbing, you know, and you still had a common well that's there. And so they are working on a lot of their structures. And what I was told was by sharing some of these positive things that we were doing, it gave them hope to be able to continue to do what they were wanting to do, which is to use a more community approach instead of coming down from the police department and allowing the police department to help them gain control of some of these rising epidemics that they have. So thank you very much, and I hope that I did not go over time. Okay.
All right, we do have time for questions for any of our speakers. You're just welcome to ask any questions you may have. Yes, sir.
I'd like to put a question to the lady from NHealth. If you look at health care or health as a human right, and you look at your community and you don't have equality, where do you go for redress? I mean, you can't say you're violating the law, say, well, where do you go?
Yes, I mean, I think we should use all the legal redress approaches and tools that we have, be they under civil rights models or elsewhere. But what I'm arguing for is that that none of this is sufficient, that we really need to build a movement towards the recognition of the human right to health care that would completely change the system and the structure. So this was, I'm talking about more like a new movement for then being able to get redress in, in the future. So right now, that's by all means, we're using, and NHelp is quite good at, you know, pointing people to where they can get legal redress for the rights violations that the people are facing. So I'm not saying don't do that anymore. I'm saying we're doing what we're doing right now under the legal framework, but we need to build a social movement for the human right to health care so that we are not reliant on the limited ways of redress that we have right now that haven't been able to bring us health equity.
May I also respond? That's a major issue, and we have addressed that too. What recourse do we have? And one issue that I just share with you recently with our Department of Health, the department director was chosen, and that director did not have a health background. Had a business outside background in welding, and had no background in public health at all. And then the assistant director did not have a background in health. That person had a background in health care, in the acute system as a respiratory therapist. That's the assistant director of health for our county, which is the largest geographical county in the nation, and we have 1.9 million individuals who live there. Thirdly, the health officer was chosen that is an OBGYN, but he does not have training in public health. So when the public health director left, he gave the community a gift. He gave them a letter, a three-page letter, itemizing all of the internal situations and the concerns. So and he called for a grand jury investigation of the hiring practices. And so in presenting this to the Board of Supervisors, as I did, I said that this is totally unacceptable because it directly impacts on the quality of care that we do not that we're not able to receive. With the previous health officers, the reason why they left was because they were not able to move our county supervisor to invest in the public's health. So we think that, yes, we don't like to do that, but what other options do we have? And the Attorney General certainly is investigating that, our local one. But the people call for it.
Any other questions? Going once? Going twice? We certainly thank you for staying and joining us. Yeah, that's probably what everyone's trying to do. Thank you again.
Criminal. So it's not like you call the law.